This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
On TV, on radio, and on your smartphone, this is Talk TV.
Live from the News Building in London, this is Piers Morgan Uncensored.
Good evening from London. Welcome to Piers Morgan Uncensored. Dr. Abdul Wahid is the leader of a controversial Islamist movement which glorified the Hamas attacks and chanted for jihad on the streets of London. Astonishingly, he's also an long-serving NHS GP. And last night, he came on my show, accepted an invitation to be interviewed after he was in the newspapers for his thoughts about what happened on October the 7th. And while that interview caused last night a bit of a stir... Do you think Hamas are a terror group?
I believe it's a resistance organisation.
Okay. Do you think what they did on October the 7th was a terror attack?
I believe that if civilians got killed on that day, it is appalling.
You're a doctor, man.
It is appalling.
You're a doctor in
the NHS.
What do you mean, I also believe? 1,200 people got massacred. Well, very clearly, Dr. Wahid cast doubt on whether the atrocities on October 7th even took place. Also clearly, he questioned whether any civilians had been massacred. He believes the Hamas attacks were an act of resistance and the people who did it are not terrorists, but they're fighting a resistance. I don't think they were. 1,200 innocent people were killed that day. Women were raped, babies and the elderly were kidnapped. Some people were beheaded. It was a medieval orgy of indiscriminate violence. And we know that in no small part because Hamas filmed their attacks and gleefully celebrated them in videos they posted to the world. And Hamas has since publicly warned that it will not hesitate to repeat the attacks again.
إسرائيل دولة لا مقام لها على أرضنا. إحنا الدولة لابد أن نزيلها لأنه بالفعل هي تعتبر كارثة أمنية وعسكرية وسياسية للأمة العربية والإسلامية يجب أن تنتهي. لذلك إحنا لا نخجل من نقول ذلك بكل قوة. نصير لازم نأدبها وحنأدبها مرة ثانية وثالثة.
Whatever your view of this war, and I've tried to platform a lot of people on both sides of it repeatedly, so we can get a sense of what both sides are thinking. Denying that the massacre of October the 7th even happened cannot be the basis for any sensible discussion. I have deep sympathy with the decades-long plight of the Palestinian people, which I've expressed many times. I've repeatedly called out Israel's occupation of both Gaza and the West Bank. I have deep unease about the scale of Israel's response to the Hamas attack. Unease that's now shared by the President of the United States. But to deny that it was a terror attack at all is quite frankly poisonous delusion. And I think it's entirely valid to question whether this man's views are compatible with being an NHS doctor in a publicly funded health service. I'm not calling for him to be fired or cancelled, as some have said today. I gave him a platform on this show called Uncensored to elaborate on his opinions. But I found a lot of his answers deeply concerning. And I do believe many members of the public, not least his own patients, might also share my unease about the opinions he so willingly offered, just as they were about cries of jihad on the streets of London. There's been a backlash from some Muslim followers of myself on Twitter, mostly because I suggested Dr. Wahid wants women to be oppressed. Would you like Sharia law in this country? Last time I'm going to ask you.
If Sharia law means upholding family values, means looking after the poor...
Means no gays, no feminists, i.e. women who get above themselves,
that's your
right?
caricature. No, that's your
I know what Sharia law wants
why
for women.
Why do so many women become Muslim these days?
Because they
so
want
many
to be
women
oppressed. Is that what you're going to tell me?
No.
Well, I said that in the specific context of Dr. Wahid's desire for Sharia law in this country and his defence of a tweet from one of the members of his own organisation calling feminists and gay people filth. It's important to understand that context. I don't suggest for a moment that women who want to convert to Islam should do so for any other than perfectly good reasons. I have no problem with Islam as a religion or with Muslims. I have a problem, though, with people who endorse and support terrorism or who are blatantly homophobic or who are blatantly misogynist. Now, many people have since accused me of being, as I say, anti-Muslim, but I'm not. No one who watches this show could possibly reach that conclusion. Let me be crystal clear again. I'm anti-terrorists and I'm anti those who support terrorists. Well, joining me now from Tel Aviv is Douglas Murray, the associate editor of The Spectator, the co-founder of the Muslim Debate Initiative, Abdullah Al-Andalusi, and Dr. Izzeldine Aboulaish, the Canadian-Palestinian medical doctor, who's joined me again in the studio. And great to see you. Thank you very much indeed for joining me. Let me start with you, if I may, Dr. Aboulaish. When you saw that interview, what was your response to the fact that it's an NHS doctor working and living in this country who was saying those things?
It's important. I am coming, you know. I heard it. I had many of your interviews. Jihad, the word jihad. My presence here is jihad. When I'm coming to meet with you to advocate for my Palestinian people and for saving lives of the people is jihad. And this is the highest level of jihad. The resistance against someone who is invading you, this is the lowest level of jihad. But jihad, when I'm traveling, when I am going to any place, even someone who is dying because of far away from his home is a kind of jihad. When we are fasting, when we are working, work is a jihad. And that's the most important. We need to understand it, not to take it out of the context in the limited understanding of it. When I am invaded with a disease, COVID, what do? I have to resist the COVID. And that's when we face cancer disease, any cancer.
With respect, you would not categorize October the 7th as a resistance.
It's, you know, I condemn the killing of any innocent human being. And for me, I was born. My daughters were killed before October 7th.
Yes, I know.
I was born as a Palestinian refugee before October 7th. My parents were refugees before 48. Yes. They were born in Palestine. So the history didn't start. The world is not created October 7th. That's what we need. And we are today. It's important. But let me continue, please.
Right.
Today is the 12th of December. Today is the 12th of December where we have more than 23 Palestinians. 1,000 are killed, more than 45,000 are severely wounded. Even the damage in the Gaza Strip, as Borrell, the representative of Foreign Affairs in the European Union, it's far beyond the damage in Germany for 6 years. In 2 months, more than that. So even, you know,
That's not true, actually.
Why?
No, there was far more.
He said it.
Who said that?
Borrell, the representative of the European Union, the Foreign Affairs.
Yeah, but there are far more people died in World War II than have died.
No, in the damage. The structural damage. The destruction.
Well, there certainly would have been more damage in Germany in World War II.
He mentioned that himself.
Well, that won't be factually accurate. But here's my question, though, for you. It all comes back to me. I'm very happy to platform anybody on this show, right to the point where they try and convince me that what happened on October the 7th was not an act of terror. And when people refuse to concede that point, I find it very hard then to have a civilized discussion. It's why I got so annoyed last night.
Would you consider the killing of my daughters as terrorist?
Well, I think it was appalling. Yeah. And I think
Do you consider it as terrorist?
I do not consider Israel to be a terrorist organization.
The killing of my daughters?
I think here's a question we have to ask ourselves, which is, since you have defended Israel's operation in Gaza as self-defense.
Don't misquote me.
You don't say it's part of their self-defense.
No, let me clarify.
Okay.
I've defended Israel's right to defend itself, right?
Right.
In fact, they have a duty to its civilians after Hamas's repeated threats since October the 7th to defend its civilians.
Is the war in Gaza not self-defense, or is it according to your perspective? Let me just clarify my position so you know, right?
Yeah. However, I have repeatedly questioned the proportionality of Israel's response, as indeed their greatest allies of
America. But not the response itself.
Now doing.
But not the response itself, though.
I think they're perfectly entitled to go and take
out
Hamas.
Okay, so may I continue my question then?
Yes. I'll ask
you. So since you have justified their response, maybe not how they've carried it out exactly, but you justify their response as self-defense.
Their right to defend themselves by taking out the terrorists who committed that atrocity, yes.
Okay. Presumably you refuse to call Israel, and you have refused when you've been asked to call Israel a terrorist organization, government, or the idea for terrorist organization.
Well, the difference is
Let me finish my question, please. I have a question for you.
I must clarify.
Let me finish my question.
You're making some statements that are a bit misleading.
Sure.
This country considers Hamas to be a proscribed terror group. They do not consider Israel to be a terrorist organization, and nor do I. So that's the position.
But, well, see, but I'm not asking you.
The United States.
I'm not asking the British government. I'm asking you, Piers.
I don't think
the British government isn't here.
Okay. I do not think they're a terrorist organization.
Now let me finish my question, if I can ask the question as well, right, for us to discuss. So considering that you have justified the operation that Israel initiated as self-defense and that you refuse to call Israel a terrorist organization or a terrorist government, despite the fact that almost as many Palestinians, Gazans, have died under Israel's precision bombing than as Londoners have died during a whole year of a blitz under German bombing, which wasn't precision bombing. And yet you still say that, well, Israel isn't a terrorist organization. I think the question we should be asking is, should you be suspended? Is it responsible to have a person with your views speaking to the public when you clearly refuse to condemn that which needs to be condemned, which was worse than the London Blitz?
Perfectly reasonable.
With precision weapons, and the Germans didn't even have precision weapons.
Perfectly reasonable question.
Yes.
And you've asked me it on my show.
Yes.
The fact you're here and able to ask that, I think, is evidence that I'm prepared to listen to people who will look me in the eye and ask me difficult questions.
Well, you didn't know I was going to say that, but anyway,
That's fine. But that's fine. You're perfectly entitled to it.
Yeah.
We believe in uncensored free speech here.
Yeah.
But let me ask you the question, then, which I asked.
You're not answering my question, but you haven't answered it.
Well, I have. I said I don't think they're a terrorist organisation.
Despite the fact that they've killed almost as many
Germans did
when they bombed London under the Blitz for 1 year non-precision bombs.
I have given you an unequivocal answer. Now, let me ask you if you can give me one.
Yes.
Do you believe Hamas are a terror organisation?
Okay, and I'd like to ask you, what does that mean?
No, just answer my question.
Well, I need clarification.
Well, this country has prescribed them as a terror group. Do you think they are?
Are you the British government?
No, I'm asking you what you think.
Okay, so I want a clarification.
I gave you a simple, straight answer.
What does it mean?
No, you tell me.
I don't know. You're asking me a question. You asked
a
question.
You don't think they are a terror group?
No, I want your definition of what is a terror group?
An act that commits acts of terror. A group that commits terror attacks, as they did on October the
7th. So one that commits terror attacks. All right, fine. Mm. So define terror.
Do you want to ask the question or not?
I do, but I just want clarification.
No, no. We all know what terrorism is.
Please, we're going to go somewhere with this. We're going to go somewhere with this, right?
Well, are you going to answer the question? You
know, yes, once I get your definition. What's a terror attack?
The definition is, as is laid down in international law,
which
it's committing an act of terror.
Which is?
Which is terrorism.
Are you asking questions you don't know the definition of?
Well, why don't you tell me what you think it is?
I don't know. You're asking the question.
You've no idea what terrorism is.
No, I want you to answer your question.
I would say massacring 1,200 people on October the 7th in the way Hamas did is an act of terror. Do you agree?
So killing civilians is an act of terror?
No, that's not what I said.
Oh, so then killing civilians
committing
is not an act of terror.
Committing a massacre on that scale is terrorism.
So killing civilians is not an act of terror?
You're not going to answer. Let me bring
I want your definition.
No, no.
I want you to be consistent.
We have a third guest.
No, but I want to say something.
All right.
You know, really, you know, United States recognize BLO as a terrorist and it negotiates with BLO. Mm. This is one thing. The second, October 7 happened and many things happened after. Are we here just stuck there as a snapshot and to discuss it, or we want to discuss what after and what can be done
in
the
best
way? That's the most important.
I think they're all important issues, but right now, because of what happened in the fallout from last night's show, I specifically want to discuss the definition of terrorism, Hamas, and whether a British
but
doctor...
But Hamas is not the Palestinian people.
Hang on.
But we have an exact definition.
I'm going to bring in our
what
third...
Definition?
I'm going to bring in Douglas Murray. You're sitting patiently here. Douglas, first of all, what was your reaction to this interview with an NHS doctor last night on this show?
Well, let me first of all say that it's necessary to clear quite a lot of things up because we've heard quite a lot of hogwash in the last few minutes. Firstly, your guest last night is a member of an extremist organization, Hizb ut-Tahrir, which is banned in many countries, including in European countries. And it's also banned in many Muslim countries. It's banned in Pakistan, it's banned in Egypt, and that's because these Muslim governments recognize that it is an extremist group that has a revolutionary ideology that wants to replace
Name
government in Muslim countries
Give me one European country's
as well
banded.
As in... as Do you know... Germany.
One European country is banned in Douglas Murray. I'm not going to let you lie to the audience like you usually do.
You're
going to justify everything
you
say on this show, Douglas Murray. Right? So please, give me one country.
Germany.
It's not banned in Germany.
I just said
it's not banned
Germany.
In Germany.
You're not listening. You're not listening. You're not listening.
To the audience, Google it for yourself. You know, His Botanic Germany, really are they banned as an organisation?
Is this Mr. Al-Andalusi? Can I just check? Because I can't see you.
It is.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a guy, he's of no significance, but he's a guy who I have seen in studios for years spouting extreme Islamist rhetoric. Many years ago, he couldn't condemn the killing of the journalists at Charlie Hebdo. Last year, he wouldn't condemn the attempted murder of Salman Rushdie. Do this. He fails every single test. But let me get on to the question. I'm not going to engage in a bun fight with this Islamist. Let me answer the question that Piers put to me before you try to interrupt again.
Only if you don't lie.
Let him answer, please.
First of all, I'm not going to keep being talked over by this Islamist blowhard. Let me speak. First of all, your first guest treated us to the first bit of mouthwash this evening by claiming that the word jihad can mean absolutely anything. Nonsense. When a big bearded member of Hizb ut-Tahrir calls for jihad on the streets of London, then they are not calling for an interpersonal struggle with the nature of the divine. They are calling for violence. And anyone who can't recognise that should be questioned about their own motives. Secondly, we've just been treated to a monologue about casualty figures in Gaza. Where do these figures come from? I'll tell you where they come from. They come from Hamas. It's quite remarkable to me that 2 months after the October the 7th massacre, the Israelis still don't know the precise number of people murdered on October the 7th. There's a reason for that, because it takes time to work out massacres of that scale. I just don't know if either of your guests are going to allow me a word in.
Because you are lying, and even the numbers from Israel, from the IDF, which are not accredited.
No. Really interesting hearing somebody who presents themselves as a moderate being a spokesperson for Hamas. So let me continue. They are Hamas figures. They are all provided by the ministries of Hamas, which is a proscribed terrorist organization. If you want to reel off Hamas figures, then be my guest, but you are not able to mislead the viewers of Piers' show by quoting Hamas figures at his viewers as if they are holy writ.
I am not quoting. It's the Euro
men. We've been treated to this nonsense.
Nations.
We've been treated
the international community organizations.
Where do you think they get the figures from? Thirdly, I will continue to speak if it kills you. Thirdly, World War II. It is nonsense that what has been happening in Gaza has, as you said in this endless list of fallacies, that there has been more bombing in Gaza, more deaths and destruction in Gaza than during World War II. Take one German city. The destruction was on a scale totally dissimilar to what you
know that.
In Gaza.
Let me ask Douglas one question.
It is very important for your viewers to hear the following definition. The definition of terrorism is the deliberate targeting of innocent civilians. That is what Hamas specializes in. That is what Hamas did on October 7th.
And that's what is happening in Gaza
now,
also.
Is what Israel is doing terrorism? No, for the following reason. And again, you can lie about this if you want, but do not expect not to be challenged about it. What the IDF is doing is the same manner of war as the British Army, the American Army, and all other armies in the civilized world. They target terrorists like Hamas, and there are civilian casualties. Yes, there are. But it is not the aim of the IDF, any more than it is of the British or American armies, to target civilians. And anyone who pretends otherwise is lying to the public watching.
All right, Douglas, final question before I go back to the two in the studio here. And it's specifically about the doctor that was on last night, whether he should be allowed to continue practicing as a GP when he identifies Hamas as a resistance group, wouldn't say that it committed an act of terror, said he didn't even believe that there had been a massacre, and was also quite blatantly homophobic, amongst other things. Well, he didn't, actually. Douglas...
Douglas, the medical association is the one who's assigned to... Douglas, he's not a medical doctor, he's not a professional.
Douglas.
Well, you don't seem to be much of an impartial observer of this, I have to say myself. I thought slightly highly of you before you started ranting as much as Mr. Al-Andalusi this evening. I'll tell you what I thought of it, Piers. I think our country has had enough of people like your guest last night. It's not just that he's in the NHS. Why is he in Britain? Why do we allow people in Britain to try to overthrow the state who praise terrorism, members of extremist organizations? What has Britain got from this guy exactly? What benefit have we got from him? I mean, I wouldn't want to be an NHS patient going to him. I don't know if any Jews would particularly want to in Britain. I don't know if very many innocent people would want to go to this doctor. But my question is not just should he be able to practice. I want to know why our country of Britain has been such a soft touch for decades that we have Hamas leaders, terrorist spokespeople, Islamist sympathisers like your guest, Mr. Al-Andalusi, and now NHS doctors who are members of groups like Hizb ut-Tahrir that stand on the streets of London, call for jihad, call for Muslim armies to arise. I don't think our country benefits anything from these people. I think people like that should leave. We have no need of them.
Douglas Murray, thank you very much indeed for joining me. I appreciate it. Let's come back to you, gentlemen, to wrap this up. Let me start with you, Dr. Abolaish. Look, passions run high here on both sides. I get that. But there have to be certain points of agreement, don't there? And one of the things that I find very hard to deal with, like I said at the start of this debate, is when people simply won't accept what we all saw with our own eyes because Hamas put it out on their own videos through their own social media platforms. What happened October the 7th was a terror attack. Can we not agree that?
I am coming here as a Palestinian.
Yes.
I am not belonging to any faction, and Hamas is not representing the Palestinian people. We have to understand it. Mm. It's part of the Palestinian people. It was elected with the free democratic election in 2006. Since that time, we don't have any election. We look forward to have election, and we have to respect the election of the people and the choice of the people. If you in UK tomorrow to elect any right fanatic group, what do you think the other people will say to you? If they said, no, they are terrorists or they are not accepted, they are part of the Palestinian people, whether we accept or not, we need to have a new leadership, to have a new election, and then it's our choice to do it. What is happening? As I said it clearly, before October 7, will never lead to any positive way. It only aggravates bloodshed, more animosity, more pain, more suffering, and more extremism.
I think you may be right. And this has been my concern about the, in my view, increasingly disproportionate response by Israel, is it may have the opposite effect to what they want. It may actually lead to more radicalism. Destroying most of Gaza seems to be what the mission statement is now. Mm. I don't see how that helps the situation at all. But I do understand why they want to try and eliminate Hamas. And that's the conundrum.
Well, I'd like to clarify, firstly, Islamic law very clearly says, and there's no difference of opinion on this for 1,300 years or even more, that it is impermissible in whatever situation to target women, children, elderly, poor, non-combatants, or those not reservists in an army. So even the Hamas fighters, which were interviewed on Israeli TV, the broadcast was interviewed, the interview, they said the same thing, that it is prohibited. Mm. The issue of October the 7th is that there's a big question mark regarding what exactly happened. Let me finish. What do I mean by this? I completely accept that there was Israelis were killed who were not combatants. It is reprehensible in Islamic law. And likewise, it's reprehensible that non-combatants on the Palestinian side are killed, like, for example, an 8-year-old, Mohammed El-Ghoul, and others in West Bank, who were shot by an Israeli soldier. But my point is this, right? And here's the issue, which is Michael Clark, who advises, you might see him on Sky News talking about Ukraine war. He's a military advisor on Channel and also Channel 4. He said that Hamas, the operation, they actually lost control of the operation and it turned into a spontaneous terror attack. I'm quoting him verbatim.
I don't believe a word of that.
Well, this is what he says as an expert.
I'm giving you my opinion.
I know. Well, I'm giving you an expert opinion.
It was clearly planned, Michael Clark. Orchestrated.
Well,
and then they gleefully boasted about it.
They didn't. Where did Hamas? Do you know that quotation?
You see no Hamas people that day gloating about it. Are you watching the videos?
Yes, I did. Did you watch that Hamas spokesman? You quoted that Hamas spokesman on TV. Yeah. Did you see what he said about the attack? He said that there was no order to target civilians.
We know they did.
A general consensus of analysts have shown that there was looters that came out of Gaza who were not part of Hamas.
So my simple question is this. Yeah. Was it a terror attack?
Anyone who killed civilians should be condemned.
It's a terror attack.
Reprehensible. Anyone who kills civilians is a criminal.
Was it
a
terror attack?
What?
October the 7th.
And we now asked you, said, what defines a terror attack is that you target
You've
civilians,
had the
right?
definition from
Yes, okay, you target civilians, right? So then I want to ask,
I want to answer that question,
but I just for sake of consistency, when the British Army targeted German civilians in World War II, was that a terror attack?
No, because they were responding to Nazi Germany's attempt to destroy the world.
So you're saying
you don't
that,
understand so, the
so
moral difference.
That, so you're saying that because of who they were fighting, it's not a terror attack to target civilians.
Is that
what you're saying?
We have to wrap this up. I'm asking.
I'm saying
there's no moral equivalence between us defending ourselves against Nazi Germany, who committed a Holocaust that killed, in fact, they killed 12 million people.
Did Britain launch war on Germany because of the Jews?
Huh?
Did Britain declare war on Germany because of, for the sake of Jews?
Britain declared war on Germany.
Did Winston Churchill, his ultimatum to Hitler, did he say, stop persecuting Jews? Do you know why? Because at that time, anti-Semitism was so rife that people didn't care about the plight of the Jews. It was only afterwards, after they discovered the death camps and so on and so forth. Mm. Don't pretend that the Allies launched this war for the sake of Jews.
I didn't
anti-Semitism,
say that.
Anti-Semitism
We only discovered
was rife
the full horror
then.
Of the concentration camps towards the end of the war.
Yeah,
we did it to save our democracy and freedom.
And
the idea is any moral equivalence is ridiculous. But let me come back one more time before we finish to my simple question. Was what happened on October the 7th a terror attack?
I'm telling you that if you refuse to call the bombing of Dresden as a terror attack.
I tried.
Then why?
I've got to leave it there.
Is that not hypocritical? I'm totally fine to call it a terror attack. If you're willing to call it a terror attack too, let's join each other in condemning both things, including the IDF what they're doing as a terror attack.
I do not believe IDF is a terror attack.
Then that's being hypocritical.
No,
that's being hypocritical.
Okay, that's your view.
I'm happy to condemn all this as a terror attack.
Yeah, you're not.
But you have to be consistent.
Final word to you.
Final word. You know. Yesterday, I was listening to the chief of Mossad and the chief of Shin Bet. Mm. And he said, it's because of the failure of diplomatic and political issues. This is important. And there was negligence. And what can we do now? And that's the most important as a medical doctor. We need to stop the bloodshed, to go to serious negotiations, to use it. Mm. What happened October 7 as an opportunity to bridge the gap between Palestinians and Israelis and not to repeat it again and again.
Doctor, I've got to end it there.
I don't think you should fire people from their jobs because they have difference of opinion in England.
I don't think British GPs should be coming on national television in this country and breaking the law by publicly supporting and endorsing a terror group.
Where did he
which
break
is,
the
by
law?
The way,
where did he break the
it's
law?
A criminal offence to support a terror group in this country.
Yeah, of course.
He did that last night.
By what? When did he actually support?
By saying they were resistance, not a terror group.
He was talking about...
He justified what they did.
He was talking about Palestinians in general.
And that is a criminal... No.
He was talking about Palestinians in general.
He was talking about Hamas. Hamas.
He wasn't talking about Hamas.
He didn't watch the interview. Go back and watch it.
Well, leave it for the police to investigate.
He described it.
He broke the Palestinians.
He broke the
Palestinians
law.
Want
he broke the
equal
law.
Rights throughout whole of
right.
Palestine.
You ask me why, that's why.
Palestinians want equal
there.
Rights throughout whole of
there.
Palestine.
Again, thanks to Douglas Murray, to Dr. Abdullah. It's good to see you again. Thank you very much.
So much.
Abdullah Andalusi, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate it. I'll send to the next president, Zelensky.